We're holding on Nunu Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Achoyba boy b'shus rabim." If somebody digs a pit in shus rabim, and nafal shayfa shoda chamur, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, chayev, which is basically recapping what the pasuk says. But the point is, in particular, it has to be in shus rabim, as we discussed yesterday. If it's in shus yachid, then it's questionable whether you chayev. And the Mishnah continues, "Echad achoyfa bur," regardless of whether a person digs. We're going to talk about there's different kinds of holes in the ground that you might dig. All of them basically are meant to store water. I didn't have running water in those days, but there's different shapes of them that you might dig. A bur is round, so whether you dig a bur, or shiach, which is rectangular, umaira, or one which is square and has a roof over it. It has a roof, but it also has an opening in the roof. So an animal might fall in through that opening. Charitzin, or you dig charitzin, which is the same shape as a mira, except that it doesn't have a cover. The entire opening, the entire top of it is open. Or unitzin, which Rashi explains means that they are now they're sort of triangular shape in cross section. They're narrower on the bottom and wider on the top. We'll see in the Gemara why it matters. We'll get to it. I should mention, as far as charitzin, there are Rabbi Hananel and a couple of other Rishonim explain that actually charitzin is not just that it's square, but it's actually they're wider on bottom than on top. The walls slant inward. But yeah, why these various shapes are significant, we'll get to in the Gemara. So all of them chayav. Imkein lo manema bur. So if that's the case, if all these different shapes or configurations, you're going to be chayav anyway. Imkein lo manema bur. So why does the Torah specifically mention bur? The reason is ma'b, which again, bur means usually a round one. The reason is ma'b bur sheyesh bekedei lahamis atzaras chachim, because a bur is something that is capable of killing an animal that falls into it, namely it's 10 tefachim deep. So the straightforward way of understanding it is that the Mishnah is implying that unless otherwise specified, a bur would usually be at least 10 tefachim deep, because people usually do it. As opposed to the other ones may not be, because the other ones have a bigger cross section. You might not have to dig them as deep to keep as much water in them, but a bur, you would generally dig that deep in. Yeah. So it is also with any other kind of configuration, it has to be deep enough to kill an animal, namely 10 tefachim.
Otherwise
you're not chayev if an animal falls into it and dies. Because then
what's the point of giving us all the shapes?
That's the point why it's talking about all the shapes we'll talk about in the Gemara. But the point is, regardless of the shape, it has to be 10 tefachim deep.
To be higher
for the animal's death. Again,
10 tefachim is not very deep.
10 tefachim is not very deep. It's true. It's anywhere between 30 and 40 inches, depending who you ask. But it's enough. The Gemara is going to talk about there's two possibilities, basically. We're going to have a long discussion in the Gemara. There's two possibilities, whether it's that's deep enough for an animal to get banged up and killed, or is it that it's deep enough that there's hot, stagnant air in there, which is enough to suffocate the animal. Either way, if it's less than 10 tefachim, you don't have that. It may be deep enough to injure an animal, but it's not expected to be deep enough to kill an animal, and therefore that I'm on right. If an animal does die in such a thing, it's sort of an onus. You couldn't have foreseen it, and it's not something that would normally be foreseeable. Therefore, you're potter. No, we're deriving it from the word bur. It's like all the in general we say shiurin or halacha l'mesh mitzinai, that when the Torah tells us a mitzvah, the chachamim are the ones who tell us the detailed parameters, such as over here 10 tefachim. It's not the parameters are not midrabanan. They're part of the original halacha. When the Eibishter gave Moshe the mitzvah, the din that there's if an animal falls into a bur and gets killed, you chayev. Along either the Eibishter directly told him, as part of Torah Shabbat there, that it's 10 tefachim, or that afterwards Moshe and the other Chachmei Hador sat down and figure out, okay, it has to be something that's deep enough to kill an animal. What is that 10 tefachim? Yeah. Either way, it becomes part of the actual din d'oraisa.
I mean, when you run quickly 10 times, it's already pretty significant.
Yeah. Okay.
Almost on the week.
Yeah, well, the width we'll get to. Well, the width is actually going to be more significant as far as the hevel issue, as far as the stagnant air issue. And that's why the various configurations become important, because depending on the shape of it, there may or may not be hevel. So wait. Okay. So What if the burr is less than 10 tefachim deep? So if an animal falls into it and dies, then you're potter, again, because it's considered basically an oinet. However, if the animal got injured by the burr, then you will be chayev, because even less than 10 tefachim is capable of injuring an animal. Okay. So Gemara starts off. Amar Rav, burr shechiv olav Torah, when the Torah is mechayev a person, for digging a burr and then an animal falls into it, lahevloi v'loi l'chavtoi. The Torah is making him liable for the damages because of the stagnant air, not because of the actual getting banged up on the ground. Alma kasava chabot.
If the animal is killed.
Wait. Alma kasava chabot kaka olam hu demaskalei. Which means, evidently, that Rav figures if the cause of the animal's death is that it got banged up on the ground on the floor of the burr, you can't make the person chayev for that because that's karka olam. The ground itself was always there before. It's still there now. You haven't made anything different as far as the ground.
So the animal could have hit the head on the.
We'll talk soon. We'll talk soon. The point is, regardless, the walls or the floor of the burr is all karka olam. Now, here we're talking about a burr in Rishas Rabbim. We're going to talk about it in a couple of blocks. We're going to deal with the whole question of a burr in Rishas Yachid. Then it's true. Rav will not say it's karka olam. Then it's not karka olam. It's your own karka. That's different. But we're talking about over here in Rishas Rabbim.
Not if it was dug and cemented or bricked or whatever it was. It's still...
No, if you bricked it, no. The pastures, if you lined it with bricks or something and the animal banged itself on that, that might be different. You can't say the bricks are kaka olam. We're talking about a plain old bird. It's a plain old bird with earthen walls and floor, yeah. Shmuel says, no, the Torah is takabing machayev you because of the stagnant air, because the animal suffocated in there, but how much more so for the actual getting banged up? Because if you want to consider what there is about this burr that's the direct damage and what's the indirect thing, the direct cause of it is more that you accomplished is digging it out. The stagnant air is something more that comes in there on its own, that seeps in from the walls or comes in from the top and then doesn't have an easy way to get out or whatever. So how much more so, if you're going to be mechayev a person for the hevel, like Rav is saying, how much more so, you got to be mechayev him for the chavata, for getting banged up, which is something that he more directly caused. And Shmuel continues. So what you're going to say? L'chavta on the Torah below the head, right? So maybe argue the other way around. Maybe in fact the Torah is takapaturing you in the case of stagnant air. Maybe you're only chayev if the animal got killed because it got banged up. I will tell you, no. A Torah he id al burr, because the Torah testifies. It just says the Torah just says a burr without specifying what the burr is lined with. Therefore, v'afuli mullet spugin shaltemer. Therefore, implying that even if the burr were to be filled with pieces of with scraps of wool, for example, or something else that cushions the fall, so then there's no way that there's chavta. There's no banging up of the animal. Nevertheless, the Torah is still implying that you're potter. Otherwise, the Torah should have said so. The Torah should have said if you dig a burr and you don't line it with something and you don't line it with something soft, then you're chayev. The fact that it doesn't say that implies it doesn't matter whether it's lined with something soft or not. Either way, you've created a burr, which therefore, so the point is, the Shmuel is saying, therefore it must be that the Torah is, the Torah is being mechayev you for the stagnant air. Because that, regardless of whether the burr is lined with something soft or not, you're going to have that. You're going to have that hevel. In addition, though, you can't only say he's chayev for the hevel, like Rav says, because the fact of the matter is the hevel is less a direct consequence of him digging the burr than the chavata. Therefore, necessarily, you have to say he's chayev for the chavata as well. One or the other. So the question is, my binayu. So the question the Gemara asks is then, what is the practical difference between them? Now, what do you mean, what's the practical difference? Rashi says, I mean, so if you see if you see, for example, right, okay, so Rashi points out like this, I mean, so what? I mean, if you see the animal, if you see its limbs got shattered or whatever, if you see its stomach burst open or whatever, obviously it's chavza, not hevla. Rashi says, not necessarily. Because you could still argue, yes, obviously the obvious cause of death was the chavta, was of getting banged up. Nevertheless, the hevel still may have contributed to it as well. Especially, actually, Tosfos sort of in a peret add the detail. You may have, for example, as the animal was falling, if there hadn't been hevel over there, it might have been able to brace itself and not fall quite so heavily. But because it was overcome by the hevel, therefore it fell really hard and then cracked something that it might not otherwise have.
Still growing.
In other words, they may be both contributing factors.
Actually, one more than the other.
Well, one more than the other, but still, you would still have then. You still can't argue that according to Rav or Shmuel, one or the other of Rav and Shmuel, you'd be kosher in that case. You'd be chayev no matter what. Now, there are other Rishonim who point out that Gemara could have answered other possibilities. One of them is, yes, if the bor is padded with something soft, would he be chayev or not? So there is that. There's other possibilities. There's cases that we're going to talk about later on. Gemara is going to talk about cases where bor does not have hevel, and you could discuss then, according to Rav, again, you should be kosher in such a bor, and according to Shmuel, you should be chayev. Okay, but the Gemara wants to find a straightforward case.
What exactly is this hevel? I mean, a 3-foot hole is not very deep. I dug a 3-foot hole and I've never experienced foul air in there enough to kill anything.
What is it talking about?
No, but, well, an animal falls head first, so therefore there's less.
Why does that make sense?
Because there's like not enough room in there for it to breathe. And therefore, we don't necessarily mean foul air like the kind of thing, like poison gas or something. We just mean the air is close enough over there in this burr,
kill an animal
sufficiently.
That's very odd.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not a farmer. I have no idea how much air an animal.
Imagine you have a 3-foot hole in it. I don't know, an ox mold.
It's just the head falls in a 3-foot hole and he cannot push himself up. He asphyxiates.
Yeah, but we're not necessarily talking about only the head fell in. The posture is the whole animal fell in. But even the point door.
The last time I saw that, I can't understand what this foul air is. So much so that that's the main reason that they make him tired.
Well, again, the Gemara is going to talk about later that we actually have to consider the dimensions of the burr, because we do have to tell, the Gemara is going to talk about later that the two possibilities, either if the depth of the burr is equal to the width, or if the depth of the burr is less than the width, as the case may be, if you have two different opinions, then you don't have the
seat. Either way, they're still talking about some kind of air that's strong enough to kill an animal that's down there for maybe even a short period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you had an injured animal, you just pick it up and get it out of there somehow.
It's a good question.
I don't know what this foul air is. What is it?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Is it something like spilling?
Well, first of all, maybe. I mean, different soils, I guess, have different outgassing or whatever for them. So it could be. It could be that different geology has different. I don't know. But other than that,
I see a shur. We're talking about a shur.
We're talking about a shur. It's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So a shur, the head of a shur, a nox, when it falls into a hole, even 5 feet fucking deep, and it cannot get its head out, I think it could die.
Well, no, 5 feet isn't enough yet.
It's not like giant.
It's a good point. I really don't know. We'd have to ask some experts in animal husbandry, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Anyway, let's continue. So the question is my benign. So again, according to this way of looking at it, if always there can be the two contributing factors, and you can't really, in most cases, you can't necessarily disentangle them, then what would be the difference? Actually, by the way, the Ma'aril Diskin points out an interesting question. He says, well, if we have a doubt, if according to Rav, you can only be chayev for the stagnant air, and in this case, in a case like this, we may not be sure whether it's the hevel or the chavta that caused the damage, then why, according to him, should you be chayev? So it's a case of a sofer. Why should the owner of the bor be chayev?
What happens if they're both together? It's that they fold.
It falls in. But that's the thing. Again, according to Rav, you're not chayev for the chavta because it's karka olav. You're only chayev for hevel. So if we're not certain if the hevel killed it or not, okay, you can speculate that maybe the hevel weakened it and therefore that caused it, but you don't know for sure, so how can Rav be mechayev you? And he answers, because Rav himself is the one who holds, as the Gemara discussed the other day, Torchim b'mamon achar roiv. You can follow the majority when it comes to dini mamon, even if in this particular case you don't know whether it was the hevel that killed the animal, but because in the majority of cases that's a contributing factor, therefore you have the right to assume that it is that way over here. Also, whereas Shmuel disagrees with that. Sure enough, Shmuel says you need more than that. So my benayah, the answer is, it could be now of a goyva b'rishos rabim. Fine, what about the other way around? What if a person didn't dig a pit in rishos rabim? What if he made a hill in rishos rabim? A hill, let's say, 10 tefachim tall. So Rashi learns, we're talking about that the animal actually climbed up onto that hill and then fell down. But there are other Rishonim who learn that not necessarily we could even be talking about that there not necessarily is the hill even 10 tefachim tall. I think the Rambam learns this way. It could even be, for example, that less than 10 tefachim tall and the animal banged into it.
So
there's no hevel. The Rav, I go mechayev. According to Rav, you shouldn't be chayev for such a case because there's no hevel. It's on the open street. And you're not chayev for having fallen off it because the animal got banged up on Kauka Ola, which is not something that you're responsible for. L'shmul, I go even nami mechayev. Whereas according to Shmuel, you'd be chayev in that case also because you're chayev for either hevel or chavta. In this case, there's no hevel, fine, but there is chavta, and you're chayev for that. So Tosfos learns a little differently than Rashi. Tosfos learns that we're talking about that the animal tripped over this hill and then got banged up on the ground. If it actually got banged, Tosfos actually says if the animal actually got banged up on the hill itself, even Rav would have to agree with Chayev. It's no different than a case that we had at the beginning of the sector where you put a rock in Rosh Hashanah and somebody tripped over it. Yeah, of course you'd be Chayev in that case. So my time of the Rav. So what's Rav's reasoning? Why does he say only Hevel? Because the pasuk has been nafal, the pasuk mentions that the animal falls, implying abshiyipol derech nefila. The only way you can make him chayev is if the animal fell the normal way, implying that it fell head first. Yeah, and then therefore suffocated. Yeah. Okay. Ula Shmuel, where Shmuel would answer v'nafal kol deru mashma. No, Shmuel would answer v'nafal means regardless how it fell, as long as it fell. The fact that it fell and got banged up, that's enough. Okay, now that we have the machlokes, let's see about let's
talk about a bird or
a bird. No, we're primarily talking about a bird. Yeah. Okay. Now, okay, let's look at our Mishnah and see if we can use that to figure this out. The Mishnah said in Kain Loma Nema Bur. The Mishnah had said, given that you have all these five different configurations, why does the turtle only single out bur? Ma bur shiash b'kedil ha'homas ha'sarot v'achim, because we said just like a bur is something that is enough to kill, namely 10 v'achim deep. Af kol shiash b'kedil ha'homas ha'sarot v'achim, so with any configuration, with any shape, it has to be 10 v'achim deep, which is enough to kill. So, now, what is the Mishnah adding by the words af kol, also anything? So, Bishleim and the Shmuel ask Kol Lasu Yagoba. So, according to Shmuel, very well. The Mishnah is telling us that not only any of the various configurations of holes in the ground are Yechayev, but also Yechayev if it was a hill on top of the ground. Ask Kol, anything that has a 10 tefachim height, you're going to be Chayev. El Rav, ask Kol Lasu Yamai, according to Rav, you're not Chayev in that case, because
the Mishnah
said ask Kol, the fourth line from the bottom of the Mishnah. So according to Shmuel, afkol includes anything that has where there's a difference in height of 10 tefachim, regardless of whether it's down from the surface of the street or up from it. According to Rav, they only chayev for a hole in the ground and not for a hill. Afkol lasu yamai. So according to Rav, what does the word afkol come to include? The answer is sorry, charitzin and itzin. It comes to include the last two that we mentioned in the Mishnah, the charitzin, the ones that are square, they're the ones that are square but uncovered, and the itzin, the ones that are triangular in cross section, that are narrower on the bottom and wider on top. I mean, charitzin and itzin, what do you mean? The Mishnah mentioned those specifically. It doesn't have to imply them with the words afkol. And the answer is Tani v'hadim afarish. Fine, the Mishnah just it mentions the actual details. It mentions the charitzin and itzin, and the Mishnah is telling us that it all comes from this general rule. Afkol, the pasuk is trying to tell us that any case where you have a hole in the ground 10 tefachim or more deep, you're going to be chayev,
regardless of the
shape. But the afkol is just coming to tell us that you should know that is why we mentioned charitzin and itzin before, because they are included in this rule as well. Okay, so now we have to ask the hani kula de katani lamali. So why, in fact, did the Mishnah have to mention all five shapes? The reason is tzricha. The iton of bar, the Farshim say actually, as opposed to the Mishnah could have just mentioned both, one, and then said any as long as it's 10 tefachim deep. Yeah. And the Farshim point out the question is primarily according to Rav. According to Shmuel, there's no real reason to ask the question. Yeah. So, actually, the answers that the Gemara is going to give, which all depend on the amount of hevla, all fits better with Rav. Okay. So, the iton a bur, if the Mishnah had only mentioned a bur which is round, have I mean a bur asoro de ispe hevla mishum de kotzin or kricha. Fine, a bur 10 tefachim deep. There's a lot of hevel in it because it is round, because it's small and it's round. So therefore, yeah, the depth of it relative to the width of it is very it's a lot deeper than it is wide. Therefore, there's likely to be a lot of hevel in there. Aval shiach da'arich, but a shiach which is rectangular, Though you might argue, maybe 10 tefachim is not a shi'ach. No, my rad is cover. A shi'ach is rectangular.
Right.
It is rectangular along the top, and then it's dug deep. So that, maybe it's not the, when you think about it, a circle has the least perimeter relative to its area, right? A rectangle has